from verse 36 to the end of the chapter today. Well, listen to his interpretation, and then we'll see what the dream is and the message that God has for us. Verse 36. It's about kingdoms, one of gold, one of silver, one of bronze, and one of iron mixed with clay. There's this rock, which is not cut out by human hands. It comes and smashes the feet, and the whole thing falls apart. And this is what Daniel says is the interpretation. Now, if you read lots and lots of commentaries, like I think you do, Tim, at times, don't you? You'll find out that this is really the most popular meaning, certainly from the ones I've read. People have tried to identify what are these kingdoms. There are many different theories, but one of the most popular and most credible is this one. If you pick up a history book, this is what you will find, that these four kingdoms are found in history. The first was the Babylonian, followed by the Persian, which were in turn followed by the Greeks, and then the Romans. During the time of the Romans, there arose in a little corner a king born in Bethlehem. And a movement, as Daniel puts it, began as a rock, not cut out by human hands, but a rock that grows and fills the entire earth. He calls it a kingdom that will never end. Rather than look at these four kingdoms and who they were, we can see from this passage that it's not just talking about history, it's talking about a philosophy of human history. So let's look at this. The first thing we learn is that things are falling apart. That's what we've been talking about already today, haven't we? Gosh, how aren't things falling apart in the world today? This interpretation of Daniel actually borrows language from the book of Genesis and the creation story. As this passage speaks, for example, if you look at verse 38, when Daniel speaks to Nebuchadnezzar and tells him that he is King of Kings and he is the Majesty and how God has given him dominion, it says in particular he has placed all of mankind and all the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, which is what God says about humanity in the very beginning, in Genesis, the book of beginnings. Men and women were created in God's image, and they were given dominion over the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea. We are the crowning part of God's creation. We were the gold. But what happened? Because of sin, things began to fall apart. You will notice that we move from gold to something less precious, silver. And then to something less precious again, bronze. And then something less precious again, iron and clay. The history of humanity is that because of sin, things are falling apart. Here's another way of putting it. All human kingdoms are temporary and transient. In the history of the world, if you read your history books, you will find there is always this phrase, after this. So you can read about the ancient Assyrians, After this, the Babylonians. After this, you can read about the Medes. After this, the Persians. After this, the Greeks. After this, the Romans. There is always an after this. No human kingdom is going to endure. They're going to change. And they're not only changing, they're falling apart. Has anybody read Gibbon's Fall of the Roman Empire? Classic story. We knew that great empire that stretched almost around the world. It fell apart. What about the kingdoms in Europe? As the first World War, the Hungarian Empire, it fell apart. What about the Tsars of Russia? They fell apart. Let's come closer to home. What about the British Empire? Do any of you have one of those globes? The school globes, you know what I mean? They're quite valuable these days, I believe. But when I was a boy, if you had one, about a third of the world was coloured pink. That was the British Empire. Well, what's happened? It's gone. After the Second World War, we lost Singapore. Then we lost India. There used to be a day called Empire Day. Do you remember that, Elizabeth?
Vaguely.
Vaguely, yes. All the schools went, they had a day off, Empire Day. So here, even in our own nation, it's falling apart. They get worse and worse as humanity descends. They all start as gold and degenerate to iron and clay. Point number two of the philosophy of human history: the fallen world is built on the wrong foundations. So what's it built on? Pride. Have you looked at the rise of the Nazis and Hitler? Wasn't he a man of pride? It cost him everything. There's some around in our country full of pride. What about that person in Scotland? I wrote on Facebook, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. People with pride, when they fall, nothing can put them together again. It's so interesting that Nebuchadnezzar has the dream of a statue and then he builds it. But why is he so troubled? The dream says, you're going down. In the next chapter, he builds the statue. That is all gold. But what does the dream reveal? You don't have a good foundation. You can't help but remember, as you read this story, of another biblical story. The story of David and Goliath. Do you recall that? Do you remember Goliath the giant? No one would come out and fight him except David, who kept his eyes on God. He says to everyone, what are you all afraid of? Put your faith in God. And he goes down and takes a small stone and flings that stone at Goliath, and it hits him. Where? In the head. And the giant falls down. This is so interesting because it's not aimed at the head. Where is it aimed for? The feet. What happens to the giant statue? It falls down. It's gone. It's built on the wrong foundation. All kingdoms that are built on pride, arrogance and power and manipulation and control and earthly principles of sin will come to nothing. Do you know people whose lives are full of pride? None of them ever amount to anything, do they? Thirdly, the human endeavour of maintaining unity moves in direction from love, goodness, virtue and truth to coercion, force and violence. Look at the beginning. Humanity was built on God's image, goodness, love, truth, virtue, and human beings were together. They were made for communion with one another. But how are human societies held together today? With a rod of iron, with a threat of violence. That's got to be the meaning of the city mixed with iron. Sorry, with the clay mixed with iron. How often do we try to keep things together in our own lives by trying to manipulate and control people? So often when we try to build our own kingdom, that's exactly what happens. Now, here's the good stuff. What's the rock? There is this rock that is not cut out by human hands, which means that it must be made by God. In fact, it was one of the early church fathers who said that this was the virgin birth. This is something that God did, how he entered human history. This rock strikes the feet, the statue crumbles, and then the rock grows into a mountain so large that it fills the entire earth. And you can't mistake that this represents Jesus. Whoa. This is a story of Jesus. This is who he is. He is the rock. Now let's just think about a few things about the rock. Firstly, God doesn't discard and abandon human history. Instead, he enters and transforms it. The dream tells us that God is not just going to wrap up humanity and toss it aside and start again. Instead, he intends to build his kingdom, a kingdom totally different from the kingdoms of the world. Secondly, God's kingdom seems at first small and unimpressive. It seems to be very discarded by many. Now, all the minerals mentioned, gold, silver, bronze, iron and rock, which one is first is seemingly least valuable. The rock, right? If you see a rock on the ground, I'm sure you will just walk past it. But if it was a nugget of gold, you would stop and pick it up. Now, this is telling us something about Christ's kingdom. Rock. That's why for so many people it's not important. If it was gold, whoa. But rock? You must be mad stopping to pick up rock. But it's the rock. Jesus is the rock. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Now, who was Jesus? The Bible tells us that he had no beauty, no majesty, lest we should be attracted to him. How did Jesus come? He did not come with pomp. He did not come with majesty. He did not come with pride. He was lowly. He was born in a stable. He lived a life where he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He did not seek to build wealth. He did not seek to build power. You could ask, what is Jesus' kingdom ever going to do? It might seem small and unimpressive at first. It might seem to be easily discarded. But what is the Bible saying about this rock? Thirdly, it is saying that the kingdom of Jesus is the only thing worth building upon and the only thing that will endure. Where is our lives? Are we built on the rock? So much of our life, we are tempted to build up our own kingdom, to build up wealth. Isn't that what the media says? You've got to have a pension. You've got to put money by. You've got to have your security. You've got to build up good looks, especially the ladies. Some men are buying cosmetics these days. Looks. You've got to build up fame to make our entire lives about ourselves. What do we want? We want people to recognize us and respect us. Do you know anyone who focuses just on themselves? Huh? I know a few. In the world, this is the only thing that matters. It's all about me. Do you know that even creeps into the hymn book? If you look through the index, how many hymns start with I? Personal pronoun. But the only kingdom that will endure is that which is built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think how unimpressive the gospel seems at first. That God enters our humanity. That he comes not to be served, but to serve. And then in the end, he lays down his life on a cross at Calvary. The meaning of this dream is that the only thing that will last is what you build on the foundation of this rock. If you look towards the end of this chapter, you see that even Nebuchadnezzar finally came to realize this.